Somebody needs healing. Somebody needs deliverance. Somebody needs to be reminded of what has been done, the provision that God has made already in Christ Jesus. So, if you've not done so, get your device like I am doing right now. Just remember that there's someone that what is happening tonight will be of tremendous benefit to, and have just found the person now. And guess what? I just sent it through my device. That is how easy it is now to all be partakers of spreading the gospel of the kingdom, which was what we looked at, studied in the past month of June. Now we're in July. And guess what? We are in the place where we need to receive, hear, intentionally seek for divine instructions. That is instructions from God. So if you accidentally joined this service tonight, joined this broadcast, or you are even watching a repeat broadcast, it's not an accident. You're about to hear some instructions. Now, I want to read something to us. Something very interesting that what we're about to do tonight actually talks a lot about. And that is, we are taking what is known as communion. You know what communion is? Where we take bread and we take wine. By the way, the wine we're talking about is the fruit of the vine, because when you look at the scriptures, that was what the Lord Jesus commanded his disciples to do. Now, there's a scripture that I want us to look at closely. It's in the book of Luke. Luke and chapter 22. Luke and chapter number 22. Okay, let me get my Bible and read Luke chapter number 22 to us. I want to read from verses 7 to 12, and then we'll read from verse 14 to 20. In Luke chapter 22, from verse 7, the Bible declares, right? And let me get the version I'm looking for here. I want to read from the New King James Version that is also displayed right there on your screen. It's displayed on your screen. In Luke and chapter 22 from verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread. Please note as I read, when the Passover must be killed. And he, that is Jesus, he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat. He instructed them, Peter and John, just go and prepare the Passover, okay? And then verse 9, so they, that is Peter and John, said to Jesus, where do you want us to prepare? And verse 10, Jesus now begins to instruct them. And he said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then, in verse 11 says, you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And verse 12, then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There, make ready. And verse 13, what happened? The disciples went and they found it just as he had said to them. And they prepared the Passover. We see something that was a tradition, something that was a culture of the Jews back then. You know, they were in Egyptian captivity for 430 years. And the night in which they were delivered, God told them to do something, to make a sacrifice and put the blood of the animal, the lamb, on their doorposts. The angel of death will come. And when I see the blood, God says, on your lintels, I will pass over. That means the angel of death will not destroy. The Passover is also symbolic of when they were delivered and they escaped from the Egyptian captivity. They escaped, they passed through the Red Sea onto the other side on their journey, the way into the promised land. So this was, after this happened, God now said, do this every year. Do this so that you will remind yourselves, remind your children, your children's children. If they ask you, why are you always killing this sacrifice in a certain way and making it as an offering and eating, say, just remind them, this is to remind you so that you don't forget of when we were delivered from captivity, of those who took us in bondage. That was a summary. So now Jesus and his disciples were going to observe that tradition. But this particular day, mind you, Jesus had been walking with his disciples for 3 years around this time. So this probably, certainly, was not the first time they would do this Passover and eat the Passover together and observe this tradition. But this particular one, he instructed them as usual, go and prepare the Passover. But then this Peter and John did something which you and I must learn to do. They asked, where should we go to prepare the Passover? So it wasn't like business as usual. Where do you want us to go? And there and then Jesus began to instruct them. You know, they could have gone to eat the Passover and just prepared and hired a room or some function room somewhere. But they asked, where do you want us to do it? And he now gave them a set of instructions. They ate that Passover, which was very symbolic, because now this was not the regular Passover. Jesus was now setting what is known as a new covenant, a new covenant. And he told them, this Passover we are eating this time, the bread you're bringing this time, the fruit of the vine you're bringing this time, is symbolic of two things. My body is the bread, because my body is about to be broken, battered, you know, and blood is going to be shed. And the reason why I will be sacrificed now like a sheep is because I want to reconcile. God wants to reconcile all of mankind to himself. God wants to forgive our sins. God wants to heal all our diseases. God wants us to have the best of life that he purposed and planned for us. That was the purpose. So he was now enacting a new covenant. And he said, don't forget, do this. And every time you do this, this time now, you are not doing the little lamb that was killed 430 years ago. That was killed many generations before you. But now a new sacrifice is about to be made for the remission, forgiveness of our sins, and healing of all sicknesses and diseases. And of course, giving us the best of life that God wants us to live. God is our creator. So tonight, we want to remind ourselves, I was praying, preparing, and I was wondering, Lord, what would you want us to share tonight? Just like Peter and John here was asking the Lord. And I perceived that we should remind ourselves the word that was given, preached sometimes in December by my very good friend and brother, who happens to be in the United States of America right now. So if you are watching us, just give us a wave, sir, because this word is for the body of Christ. It's for everyone, still as fresh. So we will be listening to a message for the next 27, I think it's about 27 minutes or 37 minutes. And then to remind ourselves of the instructions, specific instructions that God has given to us. And my very good friend is online. And this word was preached for such a time as this. So do this, listen, and remember the instructions God has given to us. So I will step aside now as we bring up the ministry, the word we received for July ahead of time, 2023, ministered by my good friend, Reverend Yusibom Song. So I will be back after this time.
So I was talking about a Christmas text. We call it a Christmas text, but it's not really like a Christmas text. It's still part of the scripture. And that's from Luke's Gospel chapter 8 and from chapter 2, sorry. I'm going to read from verse 8 to verse 14, okay? So verse 8 says, now, pay close attention. There was in that same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Wow. 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 You know, oh, I love this. There are four things in this verse. Actually, this is the key verse. When Jesus was born, something very unique happened. The heavens and the heavenlies, whatever you decide to call that, there was so much joy in heaven. There was so much celebration that the heavens could not hold back bringing the announcement upon the earth. Listen to me very well. There were all sorts of people in Israel then, all types of people. There were fishermen, there were farmers, there were kings, tax collectors, all sorts of professions. What shocked me the most is when that unique announcement had to come upon the earth, the first time it was officially announced publicly after Jesus was born, it was done to shepherds. What is it about this profession of shepherds that was the first to download the greatest news heaven has ever released upon the earth? Shepherds living out in the fields. So the first thing, they were shepherds. Second, they were in the field. Number three, they were keeping watch over their flock. And number four, by night. Oh my God. This is day seven of our retreat. And this. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that you will structure your life in this season according to verse 8. And I'm going to explain why. Verse number 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel of the Lord stood before them. Before who? Before shepherds in the field, keeping watch by night. If you do not qualify in verse 8, you cannot have the manifestation of verse 9. Because when the angels were dispatched, they were dispatched with specific characteristics to look for. Number one, they must be shepherds. Two, they must be in the field. Three, they must be keeping watch over their flock. And four, it must be by night. Oh, Lord Jesus. Let me say something. I don't know who I'm talking to. But ladies and gentlemen, if you do what I'm about to share with you, in the next year, you will experience so much divine visitation, you will not even know what to say. This is one of the greatest divine visitations of heaven upon the earth, verse 9, given to shepherds. Read even from Old Testament. Of course, God has done a lot of visitations, but this one ranks among the top five, in my opinion. An angel stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Okay. There are a couple of people who saw this glory. One of them was Moses. The glory of God came down upon Moses. One of them is this shepherd. There are so many prophets, great prophets in the Old Testament. They heard the voice of God. They had the Spirit of God, but never experienced this glory of God. It shone all around them. Peter, James, and John had this experience on the mountain. Remember, the clouds came, the glory of God overshadowed them, and they saw it. So this is a unique visitation. You can count the number of times it has happened in Scripture. But what surprises me is the conditions that were in place favoring this manifestation. And that's my desire on day 7, that you will create the same conditions around your life. If you do, I can assure you today, you will be a candidate for mighty visitations. Okay. These shepherds were out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Can I tell you something? These were not the only shepherds in Israel. Trust me, no. It's a little bit like when Jesus wanted to use the boat of Peter. Remember, Scripture says there were many boats, but two of them were empty. He stepped into one of them, went into the sea, preached, came back, and told Peter, launch out into the deep. There were so many boats. But why did he choose those two boats? God doesn't do anything for no reason. Because in Israel, and let me go back to my verse, trust me, there were shepherds, but they were not in the field. Some of them were shepherds in the field, but they were not keeping watch over their flock. They were shepherds in the field, but asleep. Some of them were shepherds keeping watch, but not in the field. So you must understand the combination. And I'm going to explain what the combination is all about. You know, keeping watch. Another version says they were taking turns. That's why it was shepherds. Take note of the word shepherds, plural. I say it again, shepherds, plural. Let me take it one more time. The angel appeared to shepherds, not to a shepherd, no, plural. Keeping watch means they were taking turns, because you can't just keep watch. You can't stay awake the whole night, no. So a couple of them, two or three, may be awake. The other two or three will be sleeping. And then when these ones wake up, that's how they do it. It's teamwork. Oh my God. So let me say this. The angel did not appear to a single shepherd. That tells you one of the conditions, because I'm still on the shepherds now, before I go to the field, then the watch, and then the night. What that tells you is, if there is one thing you must put in perspective in this season, is that you must understand the power of the corporate. Corporate means teamwork in the kingdom. You will not succeed very much in this season if you're alone. It won't. What Satan will try to do is to isolate you. And the way Satan isolates is that at times he may give you the impression that you're all sufficient by yourself. You're a solo Christian, you're a strong, independent Christian, whatever that means. And the moment you get to a point where you don't relate with people, you don't associate, you are in crisis with everybody, you quarrel with everybody, you quarrel with the elders, the pastor, you're just a troublemaker. You're setting up yourself for a solo life. A solo life means a life that is lived alone. in these end times, if you fall into that trap of being alone, God have mercy on you. Because the shepherds are plural. So that's the first thing. The second says they were out in the fields. It's a risky place to be. And they were keeping watch over their flock by night. What were they doing out in the field? It wasn't for their personal interest. It was for the interest of the flock. So let me say this. There are two things that will disqualify you in these end times. Hear me clearly. One of it is selfishness, and the second one is self-centeredness. A selfish person is a person who doesn't give or offer anything to anybody. They will complain about everything, but they will not give. They will not share. They will not invest in another person. That's a selfish person. Whatever, they put themselves first. A self-centered person is someone who believes everything revolves around him or her. When he or she is somewhere, it is what makes me feel happy. How they treated me. How they didn't do this to me. It's always about me, 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 me. These shepherds were out in the field, not for their sake, for the sake of the sheep, for the sake of the other. So let me say this. You need to check your heart and ask yourself, do people occupy a high priority in your life? It's a very simple question. Do people occupy space in your life? Or are you the type of me, my family, my husband, my children, my wife? And are you that type of a person? Everything about life has to benefit you. If it does not benefit you, you don't invest, you don't spend time, you don't do anything. You get angry because nobody called you in church to say, how are you doing? But you have never called another person to ask, how are you doing? You get angry that people don't bless you, but you have never blessed any other person. The visitation cannot come to selfish people, because the visitation of God doesn't really come to you. It transits through you. You know, when you're traveling, you leave, say, wherever you're traveling from, maybe from Lagos to Atlanta, Delta takes you to France, then France to Atlanta, right? That's a transit in Paris. So you landed in Paris, but on transit. So you must understand that at times the visitation of God really is not for your sake. God sees you as a transit, which means whatever God does in your life, it's not always really for you. Of course, the husbandman is first partaker, so you benefit from the visitation. But in most cases, it is for other people. If God prospers you, the issue is not that you're prosperous. The issue is how many people has your prosperity prospered. If God blesses you, it's wonderful. But the question is, how many people have been blessed by your blessing? I'm giving us the conditions under which I believe God wants us to structure 2023. And the first one I said was that become a corporate person, a person who understands that we are in corporate anointing, that it takes one another collectively and together to make things happen. The systems of the world have understood. That's why there are mergers and acquisitions in companies. That's why everybody is coming together to do things. You have a company in America, you source for the IT stuff in India, and then the manufacturing in Bangladesh. You see, they have understood we need networking to make it happen. Shepherds. Because while one is asleep, the other one is awake. As a result, the sheep now has 24-hour watch. Not because one shepherd stood there for 24 hours, but the combined effort of the shepherds made sure that there was watch kept for 24 hours. That's how it is supposed to be in the kingdom and in our lives. And keeping watch, not sleeping. And all of that taking place when? At night. Okay. Let me say something. I've explained this the way I've explained, right? All right. So let me come now to your life and say something that will really bless you. Okay. Let me go now back to verse 8. Let me go back to verse 8. It says, these shepherds were living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. I don't want to buttress the fact that it was in the fields, the exposure to the cold, to, you know, the sun or the cold or the animals, whatever. The angel of the Lord, verse 9, stood before them. It did not stood before him or before her. It stood before them. Take note of the word, it stood before them. Who are the them in your life that the angel of the Lord can stand in front of, including you? And the glory of the Lord shone around them, corporate anointing. And they, you know, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, God never blessed a human being as an individual. He blessed them. God never said, and God blessed Adam, and God blessed Eve. No, he says, and God blessed them and said to them. The first time God released his blessing upon the earth, it was a corporate blessing. Let them have dominion. Dominion is with them, not with him. It's not possible. It takes corporate power to release dominion. Now, this is what I want to say, and I won't be long tonight. I have maybe a couple of minutes, maybe 10 more minutes. Oh, this is powerful. You see this nighttime it spoke about? While the text is referring to an actual nighttime in terms of chronological night, that it was dark, that's the physical night. But tonight I want to introduce the spiritual night. Spiritual night is when it is dark. It can be sun, it can be midday, 1 p.m., and the sun is out in the summer. But there's darkness in your life. You're going through the night time. Let me not say darkness, let me say the night time. When scripture says, weeping may endure for a night, what do you think it's talking about? You think it's talking about nighttime, like midnight, when people are going to sleep? No. There are night seasons in your life. Times in your life that things are dark, you don't seem to see. Those are the times of difficulties, of trials, of weeping, of disappointments, of thinking God doesn't answer prayers, of having your hope lost, times of discouragement, despair, and depression. That's your night time. That's your night time. And the thing you must notice about your night time is this. When it's your night time, it is very easy to stop doing what you're supposed to be doing. You see, the shepherds are living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, right? This is what, oh, Jesus. One of the reasons of your night time is for you to stop keeping watch. So you get so discouraged that you give up. You don't watch anymore. You get so discouraged, you don't watch your spiritual life anymore. You don't watch over your character anymore. You don't watch over the promises of God anymore. You don't watch over the prophecies that have gone ahead of you anymore. You don't watch over the instructions that is given to you in church anymore, because there's a night season in your life, a difficult moment, a trying period, a discouraging episode, bad news, something that has come and turned your life upside down. The first casualty generally is that you lose touch with your ability to watch over other areas in your life. You allow the night time to overtake and overwhelm you. But one thing you need to understand is, it was in the night time that the angel of the Lord appeared to them. In other words, your night time is the prerequisite for a divine visitation. What did I say? Your night time is the prerequisite for a divine visitation. Two Sundays ago, I was preaching in church, and I told them, I said, I don't know how a lot of the people are really making ends meet. Because the truth is that life in England now is very tough. Rents, like in London, have gone. Properties that you could get rental value of a thousand, it's not like 1,800. And I asked one of my church members, how are people paying rent? Just to fill up your car is unbelievable. It went up at some time to £1.90 just for a liter of petrol. It's now like 150. 150? Wow. So 10 liters, £15? That can cook a meal for a family of three. If you really go to the market and buy the spices. Everything has gone up. Oh, they blame Ukraine, Russia. They always look for something to blame. But the point I'm making is life is tough. Many families are going through the nighttime. Look at interest rates. Look at what has happened to your mortgage. Go now to get the property. You see, again, that's what I'm saying. You see, but scripture made it clear that gross darkness have covered the earth. Don't forget that verse in Isaiah. It's a prophetic verse. You can't pray it out. Things will get worse in the world as we advance. It's prophetically programmed. However, darkness is the recipe for what? The glory of God. In the nighttime, the angel appeared and the glory of the Lord shone around them. This cannot happen during the day. The night brings out the beauty of light. Isaiah says, arise and shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Although gross darkness covered the earth, did you see that? But your light, ladies and gentlemen, the darkness will increase. But the truth is, for Christians and people who know God, we are entering the most exciting period of our spiritual lives. I'm telling you, you may think that the economy of the systems of the world are crumbling, you may begin to panic. Don't panic. It's good news for you. It is good news because God will make a difference in the lives of his people. Oh, believe you me. In this season, believe you me. It will be different for you. The glory of the Lord shone around them. So my question is really a question. My encouragement to you today is, it doesn't matter the darkness or the nighttime you're going through, right? Keep doing what the Lord has asked you to do. The shepherds are out in the field. Be out in the field doing that which the Lord has asked you to do. Keep watch over all the things God has put under your care, including your spiritual life, including your convictions. I hope you know one of the things you must watch over the most is your convictions in these end times. Oh my goodness, I tell you, otherwise you will lose those convictions overnight. It doesn't matter the difficulties you go through, keep watch over your convictions. It doesn't matter the insults you experience, keep watch over your convictions. And verse 10 now in Luke chapter 2, then the angel said to them, verse 10, do not be afraid. Ladies and gentlemen, I release this verse upon you for next year. Do not be afraid. Verse 9 ended by saying, and they were greatly afraid. So many things come with fear. It didn't say they were not. They were afraid. I am afraid of certain things. You are afraid of certain things. It can be anything. The doctor may tell you something and fear comes in. Interest rates has gone up, fear comes in. There's fear. There is fear all over the world now. If I was watching news today, not watching us, I was listening to something today, and they said that the threat of nuclear war is increasing. You know, you and I really don't have that fear because, you know, God is helping. But trust me, in high quarters, people are afraid. They know anything can happen. But I speak upon your life. Verse 10 says, do not be afraid. Woo! Jesus. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Verse 10 is my prophetic declaration upon Love Assembly and upon everyone connected to Pastor Fola and to this vision. I'm going to read that over. Even if I don't pray again today, this is my prophetic word. Verse 10. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Hear me clearly. Thank you, Jesus. One, don't be afraid. Number two, God will bring you good tidings in 2023. Number three, in fact, it says good tidings of great joy. Please remember the word great joy. I speak under this prophetic unction. I say great joy. It says, which will be to all people. It will be a type of visitation or miracle that will be public. I'm not talking about some good thing that God will do for you and then, no. It will not be hidden. It is something that everybody will see it. It will, oh God. Verse 10. Do not be afraid. I can put your name there, whoever you are. Do not be afraid, saith the Lord. Behold, the Lord says, I should tell you, he will bring to you next year good tidings with great joy. And I want to tell you, as I hear in my spirit, it will be to all people. Let me leave that prophetic word there for those who are smart, who are catching and saying amen. That's fine. Then to conclude, our scripture says, for there is born unto you this day, verse 11, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Verse 12, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly, verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill towards all men. You know what happened? The angels were so excited when they gave the announcement that they began to sing. They forgot that they were on the earth. The shepherds became choir members. And so there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. Heavenly hosts, hey, Lord have mercy. They couldn't hold back. Before they knew it, they just appeared to the angels. The angels saw the heavenly choir. You have no idea what happened to these angels. They saw the glory of God and they saw the heavenly choir. Yes, Lord. You know another person who saw this heavenly choir? John in Revelations. John saw it. He spoke about it. The shepherd saw it. That tells me next year, hear me clearly, because this is not just day seven. You know, scripture says on the seventh day, God rested. So I'm giving you things that will make your life to rest next year. You will see next year things that you've never seen before. You see these shepherds, they thought that they were just going for a normal, regular night duty, right? They never knew that they were going to encounter divinity. They saw angels. They saw the glory of God. They saw the heavenly choir worshiping. Hey, Lord Jesus, may this be your portion. And then before then, the sign the angel gave them, said, you find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And let me conclude by saying this. You see that instruction? The angel did not give them a vague instruction. In verse 11, it says, a child is born this day in the city of David, a savior. So there's an instruction in verse 11, and there's an instruction in verse 12. Verse 11 says, a child is born in the city of David. So that's vague, right? Okay, there's a child born in the city of David. Fine. For some people, that's all they hear from God. It's an instruction from God. They don't have the details because their spiritual antenna cannot download the details of God's instructions. So they just get the general announcement. There are two announcements here. There's a general one and a specific one. The general announcement says, this day, a child is born in the city of David. And it's a beautiful announcement and it is valid. But that general announcement cannot take you anywhere tangible. The specific one that says, and this will be the sign to you. He says, the sign to you. Listen, the general one is a sign for the body of Christ. The specific one is a sign to you. You will find one, the baby, wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. It was so specific. If they go and find a baby wrapped in wooden cloth, lying in a manger, they know it's not that baby. If they see another baby, right, wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger, there's not a baby. It is not that one. If they see a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth, but lying on the bed, they will know it's not that one. It was so specific, you couldn't miss it. It was so specific, you could not miss it. So let me conclude by saying this. In 2023, the instructions of God on your life will be so specific, you'll not be able to miss it. Oh, Lord Jesus. Mm-mm. It's not by power nor by might. This is something that God will do. He will do it. Because we've come to a season where there is no more time to waste. So God doesn't have that much time on the earth anymore for trial and error. So the Spirit of God, you see, the next 7 years, right? From 2020 to 2030. Anyway, let me leave that alone. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let me explain something to you. Okay. When Naaman came to Elisha, you know what Elisha did? Elisha didn't say, go to a river and have a bath. Yeah. That's general. Mm. He said, go to the Jordan.
That's right.
And dip yourself seven times. When Naaman went to the Jordan and dipped himself seven times, he was healed. You know why? It was a specific instruction to Naaman.
Mm-hmm.
Your life is entering the season of downloading specific instructions from God. Hey, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God will speak to you in specific. You see, I'm struggling to put this across because God will speak to you in ways that are not ambiguous at all.
Amen.
Jesus said to Simon Peter, when they came to collect tax, right? Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said, oh my goodness, I should be rounding up in 2-3 minutes now because we may have questions. He said to Simon Peter, go to the sea, mm-hmm. take your fishing pole, cast it into the sea. You'll catch a fish, pull out the fish, open the mouth of the fish, take a coin from that mouth of the fish and go pay our taxes. He could have said to Peter, go to the sea, catch a fish. You know, Peter would have caught the fish and gone and cooked it and eat, and then, oh Jesus,
come on.
No fisherman catches a fish and opens the mouth of the fish to see what is inside. Nobody right. does that. But you see, Peter could have still caught that fish with the tax money in the mouth of that fish. But if he did not download that instruction completely, Peter, Peter could have sold that fish. Let me tell you what would have happened. They need money to pay tax, right? He's a fisherman. You catch fish, you sell. You know what Peter would have done? He would have caught the fish and sold it to get the money and then go and look for a way to complete it to go pay taxes. Unbeknownst to Peter, he has sold the fish with tax money in his mouth. If Jesus did not say, open the mouth of the fish, Peter would have sold that fish. That's Do you know how many fishes you have sold with your miracle in their mouth because you could not download the complete instruction from God?
Lord,
I rebuke whoever is under the attack of not receiving that complete instruction from God. It will not be your portion next year.
Amen.
Two more examples. Jesus told them, go to the junction. You will see a donkey. Untie it. The owner will come to you and say, what are you doing with this donkey? Tell the owner that the master has need of it. Specific. You cannot miss it. So it's not just go to somebody's backside or backyard or no. Where the donkey is, what to do, and even as you're doing it, the instruction that somebody will come and say XYZ, and the response you have for that person, tell the person that, isn't it amazing that you're going for an interview and God gives you instructions? They will ask you this question, answer it like this. Hey, Jesus, I hope you knew what the Spirit of Lord has for us in these end times. I had not seen, ear had not heard, that which God has prepared for the church. When scripture says that the riches of the Gentiles will come to the church, you think that's because I'm going to go steal it? No. God will download in us wisdom. Okay. Last example. Remember the upper room experience? He said to them, you will see a man bearing a pitcher. Follow him. He will go to an upper room. Go to that room. Ask for the owner of the upper room. And tell him that the master has need of this room for the Lord's Supper. It happened exactly like that. If they did not have that instruction, you know, they would have gone to that city and be knocking at doors. Please, we are looking for a hall to rent. Do you know anyone who has an auditorium that we can rent? Wastage effort. The reason that specific instructions will be downloaded at top speed upon the earth is that God needs to cut short his work with righteousness. The days are evil, so the time has to be redeemed. So there's no more time in the spirit realm to delay. So things that could have taken you 3 years to understand, God will just give you the instructions in 1 week. Go here, meet this person, make this investment. This business, it will do this. This one will fall. Take out your shares. Sell your shares here. Go and buy shares there. Buy for £10,000 here. Oh, I know I'm saying like that, you're not even reasoning. I'm telling you, you will experience spectacular instructions next year.
Yes, Lord.
It will be so specific. My time is up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let me end here. Pastor Fola, well, I don't know if any question came in.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for stirring our remembrance. Thank you, Lord, for instructions you have given us that we might have forgotten. Thank you for bringing to our remembrance this very day, this very night. Lord, we receive afresh a stirring, that which you have said already, that which you have spoken already, that which, Lord, you've reminded us tonight, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. People, we've come to that place, but I want us to see something that happens and something that is about to happen when we take this bread and take this communion tonight. He says, do this in remembrance. Do this in remembrance, which means you don't remember something that you have the likelihood of forgetting, or something you have forgotten comes back. It comes back. After Jesus gave that instruction, go prepare the Passover, and they came to ask him where. He gave clear instructions. in the name of Jesus, you will receive, you will hear. And as you have received instructions tonight, the grace to obey. They went, they found as he has said. And they came to the place. The Bible says, let's read Luke chapter 22. We're going to read through scriptures. We'll read Luke chapter 22. Jesus sat down with them when the hour came, from verse 14. Now, this is the hour, people. When he had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, he says, with fervent desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Let's read on. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Verse 17. Then he took the cup. He gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Verse 19. And he took the bread. He gave thanks. And he broke it and gave to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this. Look at the word there. In remembrance of me. I believe the Lord has stirred up our remembrance, reminding us of instructions he has given us in the past. Reminding us, that's why this word is brought to us again. The Bible says God has spoken once, but twice have I heard that all power belongs to God. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. And let's see something that happened when they began to doubt. At this time, Jesus had died, but then some of them had not seen him. Some of them had seen him. But then those who had not seen were doubting, so he had to show them his hands, his feet. And the Bible says in verse 41, Luke chapter 24, if we can display this, if you can turn your Bible, let's read from Luke chapter 24, verse 41. Luke chapter 24, verse 41. I want you to get your communion ready. I want you to get that bread ready. I want you to get the cup ready. If you don't have it, just get something symbolic of the body and the blood of Jesus. We are about to experience a miracle, instructions, a stirring, a remembrance of things God has said that we might have forgotten, things God has said that we did not know he said, but is coming as fresh as instructions to us. The Bible says, while they did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? Look at what happened. And then we go to verse 42. Then they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And the Bible said, he took it in verse 43 and ate before them. And then when we read, he ate in their presence, verse 44, he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you. These are the words that I spoke, verse 44. Which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45. Look at what happened. After he ate before them, the Bible said then, in verse 45, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Tonight, I pray that our understanding will be opened. We will hear instructions specific for that situation that we are going through. You will hear clearly as you are hearing me, as you've heard this word tonight, as a lot of staring has taken place to remind you of God's promises, God's word concerning your specific situation. So we are going to that place tonight now where we want to stir up this remembrance, because remembrance comes with healing. It comes with fresh instructions. And it's usually what God has said before that you will remember and healing will come. So I want to give us the time to get the bread. Get the bread and get the cup. The bread and the cup. And we will read, we will eat together, drink together, give thanks together, receive instruction together, and the word of God you heard will not return, but it will accomplish what God pleases. The word you heard tonight, healing will begin to take place. Deliverance, you will be set free in the name of Jesus. And I read to us 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I begin to read from verse 23. Please bring the bread, raise the bread, and raise the cup. And we will do what Jesus said to remind ourselves we are healed, we are delivered, we are transformed, we are set free. There is divine provision in the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 23. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. Listen, the power of darkness is that it reveals the opportunity for light and the glory of God to shine. Are you suffering any kind of betrayal? Listen, your hour to be glorified. The glory of God will come upon you in the name of Jesus. Let's take the bread right now. The Bible said, took the bread. And when he took this bread, the Bible said, he gave thanks. Please give thanks tonight that I am healed. I am set free. Lord, I have everything I need. I remind myself, I am yours. I lack no good thing. No good thing will you withhold from me because I am yours. And I walk uprightly. I walk by your righteousness. I am your righteousness in Christ Jesus. I thank you for my life. Thank you, I'm alive. I thank you, there's a blessed hope. I thank you for provision. Please thank him in any way, whatever you can thank him for. If you can hear me, thank God you have ears to hear. If you can hear me, thank God that the word has come and is healing that will follow. Deliverance will follow in the name of Jesus. He gave thanks, and then he broke it. Please break that bread, break it, and he said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this to remind yourself about me. What was that body broken for? The stripes was laid upon that body. The body was beaten, broken, battered, bruised. Why? For the remission of our sins. So that through the battery, the breaking. Thank you, Lord, for understanding. Thank you because we know what to do. Thank you for instructing us afresh. Thank you for reminding us that peace in the midst of storm has come. Be at peace. Be of good cheer. And let's go now and lift the cup that contains the fruit of the vine, symbolic of the blood of Jesus. The Bible says in the same manner also, he gave thanks, remember, that's the manner. He now took the cup. And after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, this do. As often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Father, we remember tonight. Amen. What the Lord Jesus and the blood of Jesus has done. This is the blood of sprinkling, the blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, the blood that was shed for the remission of sins, the blood that was shed and by the stripes we were healed, the blood that speaks better things right now concerning us, better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel cried vengeance. Your blood cried freedom. liberty, deliverance, healing, cleansing, purging of our conscience from every dead work that we might serve you. And Lord, thank you for opening our understanding again. And we receive instruction, direction for our healing, for our cleansing, for our breakthroughs in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Please drink. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just take a minute or two to just thank the Lord, thank God, whatever your circumstance, whatever situation is, it is well. Peace be still, peace in the midst of every storm, healing to your physical body, to your mind, to your soul, direction for those seeking direction. Oh, remembrance, reminder to someone that God is there for you. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. I have not left you. I have not forsaken you, says the Lord. I am with you. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. I am faithful. Faithful is the one who has called you, it is written, who will also do it. He will do it. He has made all things beautiful in his time.
Thank you,
Father, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every sickness. I rebuke every foul spirit. And I break the stronghold, that thought, that imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God in your life. It is brought low. That third, that suicidal thought is brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That thought, that stubborn thought is brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In the name of Jesus, receive the grace to obey. Receive the grace to do as you have been instructed. You will lack no good thing. In Jesus' name, there is divine provision. That fish, God will help you to recognize the coin, the fish that catches, that has the golden coin. You will not sell the fish that will provide the coin, but rather you will see right inside the fish, the unusual, that which was not normal. I say in the name of Jesus, loose, be loosed to fulfill your divine God-given destiny in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. In Jesus' name we pray. And Lord, we remember your son, Reverend Song. Thank you for using him as a vessel. Where he is now, Lord, we visit him as he travels the world, ministering, speaking your word. Even where he is in America, as he transits, travels to Africa, travels to South America, Lord, thank you for going ahead of him. Thank you for instructing him exactly what to do, what to say, as you take over his thoughts, as you protect him, protect his family, his wife, his children, protect the church that you've given him, the congregation you've given him spiritual oversight over, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
To you be all the glory and praise and honor. And Lord, everyone, tonight we are partakers of your divine nature. And as a result of that, your glory will be seen upon our lives, in us, through us. You will radiate your glory, and every darkness recedes from our lives. And darkness cannot comprehend, because our light begins to shine now, even in the midst of every darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Thank you, lovely ladies, as you join in the communion tonight, and everyone who has joined in. Please just hold on. There are very important announcements the lovely ladies want to bring to us from the media team. God bless you.